Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Cat lovers and feline friends, it's time for Adele Park's Quirky Catnips.
Today on Quirky Catnips, we're airing a chapter of Quirky Cat Goes Splat by Adele Park. This frightfully funny tale is narrated by the ever-so-snarky Skitters the Cat. Find out what happens when Skitters goes cattywampus for a kitten named Harriet. Tune in each week to hear a new chapter of Quirky Cat Goes Splat, only on Pet Life Radio. Meow, kitties!
Audio Recording St. George presents Quirky Cat Goes Splat. Written, produced, and edited by Adele Park. Narrated by a full cast.
Splat!
Meow, bitches.
Twisted Tales by Skitters the Cat. Part 20.
Good Time Skitters has the blues. I can't sleep, a condition which uncouthly violates the norms and standards of being a cat. I roam the halls at Gecko's Gulch, bellowing until someone lets me outside. Once I get there, I miss the air conditioning and scratch at the windows until I get let back in. This behavior ticks off all the humans in the house, which is the only source of joy I have other than rubbing my butt on their pillows. Each hour I spend apart from Harriet feels like a lifetime in dog years. True, Harriet often kept me at paw's length. She didn't shy away from letting me know what a yuckle I am either. I missed being razzed about all the hair falling off my badunkadunk when I had that unfortunate mishap with the hair removal cream. I'd welcome the opportunity to hear Harriet tell me I'm so fat she has to take a train and two buses just to get on my good side. Grundle, my best dog friend, wants me to go trolling for tail with him. As I've mentioned before, naval cats are way too domesticated for my taste. Grundle is so big and goobery, he's not exactly an ideal running mate anyway. Add to that the fact that we're both hitting on the same team when it comes to our desire for feminine felines, and the chances of scoring seem dismal at best. Fortunately, misery loves company. It's comforting to have a human like Taj Wakefield around during troubling times. As is the case with me, Taj tends to eat when he's feeling depressed. Now that Arinda is no longer the cook at Gecko's Gulch, Taj has reclaimed the kitchen. He's on a culinary bender that would have Fat Bastard from the Austin Powers movies jerking his gherkin. Taj and I wallowed in our collective gloom with huge bowls of mashed potatoes and gravy, London broil, and sweet lemon pie. I'm happy to report my young friend has mastered the art of a perfect meringue. I love how some of it sticks to my whiskers to lick off later. It's kind of like mobile leftovers. I didn't care that I was becoming the mother in What's Eating Gilbert Grape. There's no shame in eating a whole chicken in bed.
Chapter 20. Taj Wakefield.
Every time my dad shows up at Gecko's Gulch, it's bad news. I thought the purpose of this latest trip was just so Dad could yell at me in person for screwing up at Juniper Hollow. What I got instead was the old, "I'm disappointed in you" lecture. Then, he told me Mom is moving in with her new boyfriend. Dad says they've agreed to joint custody. I'll be living with him in Las Vegas and visiting Mom in New York. Not if I can help it. I'm through with all these mother effers. Mom keeps calling, trying to reassure me we're still a family. Really? How are we still a family if we're living at opposite ends of the country? She hasn't said much about her boyfriend. Nice of her to let Dad break it to me. Coward. I'm not even 15 years old, and I've already had two mothers abandon me on the side of the road like a sad sack of puppies. I'm so pissed it doesn't even hurt anymore. Dad thinks I should go to therapy. That's rich as hollandaise sauce. These ladies swap me away like red ants at a picnic, and I'm the one who needs to have my head examined? No, Dad, I said. If anyone needs a shrink, it's these love 'em and leave 'em fake mommies. I wasn't expecting Dad to stick up for Mom, especially after what she did to him. I guess life is full of surprises. Dad stayed at Gecko's Gulch for 2 days. It felt more like 2 years. It rubbed me raw that he had the nerve to defend a woman who treats her son like nothing more than a blistering pimple on the butt of life. Maybe Brandon's dad could write a song about that. Dr. Spinkle is kind of a hard ass when it comes to Brandon. Then we found out he spent the whole summer trying to keep some doofus named Drew Compton from letting Brandon know he's his real father. Brandon actually found out about Drew a long time ago, when Brandon's mom decided to go on Celebrity Cougars. Brandon spent his savings paying a computer nerd to dig up a bunch of stuff. I already knew Brandon's mom was churning butter with one of his classmates. It's the main reason he can't stand her. Brandon's so embarrassed, he keeps trying to talk Blue into moving the family to Legacy Grove. Even worse, Kiefer Nichols, Naval's resident bully, figured out Brandon's dad is in the rectal surgeons. It was only a matter of time before everyone here knew about his mom as well. Nadine Reinhardt McElprang Stratton Viapondo Davenport Milner showed up in time to help cook dinner on Dad's second night at Gecko's Gulch. In the morning, Dad took Blue to the airport in Las Vegas. Just a few hours after they left, the FBI arrested Nephi Stratton, the prophet of Zion Flats. The story made national news, but I found out about it on Facebook. They got him for welfare and food stamp fraud. Brandon and I couldn't figure out why they didn't bust Nephi on the real crimes he's done. Everyone knows Nephi is violent as all get out. Brandon's told me horror stories about what he did to Isla Ray. She's one of the lucky ones who lived to tell. We may never prove it, but Zion Flats isn't the only war zone around here. God only knows how many people have been killed at Juniper Hollow. Much to Brandon's disappointment, Evangeline's dad wasn't one of them. Not that he wanted the guy dead, it's just that Brandon was convinced Orinda, the frightful furry cook, killed Nicholas DeLuca. I'm surprised Nephi didn't beat him to the punch. Nicholas is the whole reason Nephi is now chilling behind bars. Despite his theory getting all blown to hell, Brandon is still fixated on Juniper Hollow. I'm done with that place for good. The last thing I need is to drag another girl out of a baptism font in the middle of the night. Besides, I promised Blue I wouldn't set foot on that property ever again. So did Brandon. Courtney Fletcher has been texting Brandon nonstop ever since the news broke about Nephi. Now both of them are convinced the feds have overlooked some kind of major crime. I'm not a fan of Courtney, and I really didn't appreciate her getting Brandon all riled up about Juniper Hollow again. I'm glad Brandon has decided to be an investigative journalist, but he needs to get on the bus back to reality. For the record, just because Brandon hassles me about being the, quote, queen of cupcakes, doesn't mean I want to nail him back. I think it's kind of cool that Brandon wants to write for the school newspaper next year. I've been trying to get Brandon to concentrate on what really matters, our upcoming dinner date with Courtney and Danica. Nadine said we could host our party in the courtyard at Gecko's Gulch if we'd do some chores at Legacy Grove. It was a work day at Good Karma, so Nadine dropped us off early in the morning. We were planning to stay all day. We had a place to get out of the sun since the electricity and plumbing was finally fixed. We'd been raking the orchard for about an hour when we heard the sound of a truck coming up the dirt road to Legacy Grove. I knew we were in for trouble when Courtney and her stupid friend Sissy jumped out of the old beater being driven by Courtney's brother, Clive. He had just gotten his driver's license and was looking for an excuse to drive somewhere. The place he most wanted to go? Juniper Hollow. The Fletchers own the piece of property overlooking Juniper Hollow. Courtney's uncle, Boyd, lives in a cabin up there, but Granite Ridge belongs to the whole family. Thanks to Brandon, Courtney was all caught up in his conspiracy theories about Juniper Hollow. I didn't want to get in Clive's putrid truck, but I didn't want to stay at Legacy Grove by myself either. Besides, someone needed to make sure Brandon didn't make a mistake he'd be sorry for later. Of the five of us, I'm the only one who's actually been in the catacombs at Juniper Hollow. I swam across the lake a couple of times, taking a few steps into the caves just to see what was up. It's dark as night in there. Worried about bats or God knows what else, I wandered in just a few feet. The plan today was to go in from the top.
Hang tight, kitties. We'll be back in a scratch. Pack your bags, kitties. It's time to take a trip to quirky cannabis country. Find out what happens when a writer turns to reality TV as a way to cure an apocalyptic case of writer's block. Reefer Madness Ensues in Quirky Cannabis Country by Adele Park. Get Quirky Cannabis Country today on Audible.com, Overdrive, and BookBeat.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We now return to more of Quirky Cat Goes Splat by Adele Park on Pet Life Radio.
Clive parked the truck at the lower edge of the Fletcher's property. We had to hike about a mile to get to the top of Granite Ridge. Sissy kept taking photos, which I sincerely hoped she wouldn't post to Facebook. The last thing I wanted was for Danica to see me in the company of that airhead. I reminded Brandon he'd promised Blue he would never go on the property at Juniper Hollow ever again. I knew for darn sure I wasn't going to. Fortunately, Clive was enough of a numbskull to do it for us. I'm not sure where he got it, but Clive had one of those miner hats with a light on top. We stood looking down on the catacombs, searching for the iron peg ladder we all knew was there. Finally, Clive found it, though the first peg was so far down, he nearly slipped. Good gravy. This idiot was going to kill himself. I didn't think much of Courtney when she told Clive to grow a pair and climb down already. The plan was for Clive to take some photos with his cell phone. After a few minutes, we couldn't see the light on Clive's hat anymore. Courtney kept yelling down to ask what he was seeing. Mostly, all we heard were grunts from Clive as he struggled to find the next peg in the ladder. At some point, Clive hollered that he'd reached the bottom. Courtney wanted to know if he saw any dead bodies. Like Clive wouldn't have let us know about something like that. Courtney, obnoxious as ever, demanded that Brandon go down there and make sure Clive didn't overlook anything. Don't do it, Brandon, I said. You promised Blue. Courtney told him not to be a wimp and do it already. This really steamed my broccoli. If it's so easy, Courtney, why don't you go down yourself? To my surprise, Sissy agreed. Never one to refuse a dare, Courtney climbed in and started a shaky descent. She was using her cell phone to light the way. Every few feet, she'd stop and take a picture, hanging onto the metal peg with just one hand. Where did Brandon find this Einstein? A few minutes later, we could hear Courtney and Clive having a discussion from the bottom of the catacombs. Their voices sent up echoes that made me nervous. Brandon must have felt the same way because he kept urging them to come back up. Just to get inside Brandon's head, Courtney took her time returning to the top of the ridge. The temperature felt like 100 degrees. We crowded into the shade of a small tree to look at the photos Clive and Courtney had taken. They were so dark, I could hardly tell what I was looking at. I nearly jumped out of my skin when a voice boomed.
What are you kids doing here?
I was just about to bolt from my spot under the tree when Clive said something like, Howdy, Uncle Boyd. I got the feeling it wasn't a close relationship because Boyd said we should
get
before he told our mamas what we were up to. Like mine would even care. Clive dropped us off at Legacy Grove. Despite being gone for a few hours, we were still able to get quite a bit of yard work done. I was thinking, phew, glad we escaped that disaster. Then I saw the pictures on Facebook that night. I called Danica, but she wouldn't answer. I hardly ate anything at dinner. Everything tasted like recycled cardboard, which, knowing Nadine, it likely was. I tried calling Danica a few more times and even sent an email in case all of the phones at her house were broken and she somehow didn't get my messages. Brandon's dad Skyped him that night, a move that initially sent him into a cold sweat. Was it possible he found out we were on Granite Ridge? I couldn't take any more bad news, so I slunk into the TV room to zone out. I was watching an episode of The Simpsons that I'd seen a million times when I heard Brandon whooping. Dr. Spinkle was calling with news Brandon already had. He was going to be a big brother again. Brandon's dad must have had a change of heart because he was all excited that Blue was pregnant. I should have been glad for Brandon, but I wasn't in the mood for this sort of happy horse shit. I guess everyone gets a good ending except me. Brandon scored the girl he wanted. His dad was flying high over the news he was having another kid, and there was no more divorce talk in the Spinkle family. I felt like a schlep for resenting them so much. I moped around Gecko's Gulch the next day, too bummed to do anything. When the polygamous ladies finished work that afternoon, Nadine called me into the kitchen. I really wasn't up for a cooking lesson. Nadine told me to spill it, so I did. While I didn't mention where the pictures of me and Sissy were taken, I told Nadine they were destroying my upcoming date with Danica. I was amazed when Nadine suggested that we make Danica a cake, and not just any kind. We made the pumpkin spice cake that Blue had for her wedding. I was surprised because Nadine said she didn't want to be a pusher of diabetic items. Yet here she was, helping me bake a cake for Danica. For the second week in a row, I got called in for a Thursday shift at a Taste of Heaven bakery. Nadine drove me to Naval before the sun was up, so there wasn't any place for Brandon to catnap until the library opened. I envied him peacefully snoozing in his air-conditioned room at Gecko's Gulch. I planned to bring the cake over to Danica's house during my lunch break. I wanted to catch her before she went to work at the pool. We were busy all morning at the bakery. I was afraid I'd miss Danica and be stuck with that cake. I sure the heck didn't want to drop it off with her mother. Frustrated, I slammed around the shop, angrily emptying trash cans and muttering under my breath about all the sticky goop I had to wipe up. Then I felt a hand on my shoulder, certain it was my boss telling me to take a chill pill. I dropped the bag of garbage I was tying up, irked that I was in for a scolding. The hand didn't belong to my boss. It was my mom's. What? I thought she was unavailable this summer. I was so shocked, I couldn't even say hello. Mom threw her bony arms around me, hugging me and kissing the top of my head. I didn't realize I was crying until she stood back to take a good look at me. I'd changed over the summer. Thanks to Randall, I no longer came across looking like a government bureaucrat. Mom ran her hands over my spiky do, telling me she loved it. My boss came over and introduced herself, offering Mom a glass of milk and a warm croissant. Even though it has a zillion calories, Mom actually took a few bites as I sat across from her in the booth. She wanted to know all about my job and whether I was helping in the kitchen at the bakery. That's when I remembered Danica's cake. Bolting up, I begged my boss to let me take an early lunch. Mom drove me to Danica's house. Together, we walked to the front door. Mrs. Creighton answered and invited us in. I sat on the couch with the cake box balanced on my knees. They were shaking, either from fear or from the joy of being with my mom again. Danica came downstairs in her lifeguard uniform. She looked confused when she saw the three of us sitting in her living room. I stood up and handed her the box. "Danica," I said, "I made this for you." Wow. Could I be any lamer? Danica took the box and opened it. "It's Nadine's secret pumpkin spice cake." Okay, apparently I could say dumber stuff. The double date was back on. We strung lights in the courtyard and set out a bunch of battery-operated candles. I wanted real ones, but Mom was afraid we'd burn the place down. We covered the patio table with a white linen cloth. In the center, we had a beautiful arrangement of wildflowers. Not wanting another belladonna catastrophe, we ordered them from Heaven Sent Floral. I had a small seizure when the girls were brought into the courtyard. For once, Danica's hair was down. It was curled in long loops, which I thought made her the most beautiful girl in the world. She was even wearing a dress. Danica didn't show nearly the amount of leg Courtney did, but I couldn't take my eyes off her. Because I was slammed for time, I planned a fairly simple menu. Fresh shrimp with homemade cocktail sauce for an appetizer, followed by an endive and cucumber salad. For the main entree, I prepared grilled pork chops with a spicy plum sauce. Dessert was warm apple strudel. Not to brag or anything, but the whole meal was friggin' awesome. After we'd polished off the last of the strudel, Courtney and Brandon went behind the honeysuckle hedge to make out. I doubted anything like that would ever be in the cards for me, at least not tonight. I was lucky Danica even showed up. Mom had given me a crash course on slow dancing, something she assured me was a smooth move with girls. I knew Danica was in the tank for John Mayer, so I had Mom buy one of his CDs while she was in town picking up the groceries for our dinner. I'd gotten used to the head-banging riffs from the Rectal Surgeons, but tonight, John Mayer was just what those doctors would have ordered. I stood up and offered Danica my hand. I was nervous as hell. Somehow, I managed to put my arm around Danica's waist. Slowly, we began to dance. I'd been staring at Danica all night like a total idiot, but suddenly I couldn't look at her at all. Then she said my name, almost in a whisper. I looked up. Our eyes locked. It seemed as if time had stopped. My mouth was so dry, it felt like I had eaten a sheet of sandpaper. My entire body was trembling. God, why am I such a knob chop? I was blowing the whole deal. Danica moved closer. To my complete shock, she kissed me. And not just a little party peck either. I knew my life was never gonna be the same again.
What happens when cats and ghosts collide? Find out in Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted by Adele Park. This quirky tale is narrated by the ever-so-snarky Skitters the Cat. Skitters finds himself in the most unfortunate position of having to help his nemesis, Blue McKenna, go to heaven, hell, or somewhere other than where he is. Otherwise, Blue will continue to bug Skitters as much in death as she did in life. Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted is a frightfully fun prance through the desert. Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted. Get ghosted today on Audible, Downpour, and Spotify. Meow, kitties.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.